For Chasm Radio, I am Farm Director Joe Gill at FarmFest. A very busy week near Redwood Falls this week. We saw some interesting weather. It was warm, saw a few passing thunderstorms, and, well, Thursday, pretty darn nice day as well. This morning on our Central Minnesota Farm Report, we feature Kent Beadle with CHS. And, you know, weather, we can almost compare to markets. It kind of depends upon the week, almost depends upon the day or the hour. It fluctuates so much, Kent.
Yeah, and, you know, what's interesting about weather is that the markets trade forecasts, okay? And there's weather forecasts, and then there's weather realities. And as we saw this week, sometimes the reality isn't exactly what the forecast said. We've all known that for years, right? They say it's going to rain, it doesn't. They say it's not going to rain, it does. We saw that a little bit of that this week, and we especially saw it with the heat. Last week's forecasts were for some pretty high temperatures that were going to be with us on an extended basis. And that's what the markets traded when we took soybeans up a buck and a half last week. It's August. And extended heat in the month of August is not good for a soybean plant. Can a soybean plant handle a day in the 90s or, you know, 100? Well, we saw that on Tuesday, that the temperatures were extraordinarily hot. If you drove around Tuesday afternoon, those soybean plants were absolutely stressed. The corn was stressed. But then on Wednesday, Thursday, beautiful days, and you know, the health of the plant looked a lot better. And that's kind of what the markets traded this week, was that we didn't have as much heat in the forecast on an extended basis as we maybe thought we were going to. Now, what's interesting, of course, is that there are still forecasts, and for the rest of August, it looks like it could still have some hot days in it. And while we did have some rainfall in some of the Western Belt, the accumulations weren't particularly high. So if the forecasts are right this time and we're still warmer, drier the next week and the week after that, you know, there is still the potential for some yield risk and some yield loss as a result of that type of a forecast in both corn and beans. And that's why the markets probably, you know, have come back a little bit and at least want to reflect that there is still some risk out there.
As I walked in the tent on Thursday, I know you were talking to a farmer too about, you know, corn price. And when you look at corn and beans, no matter what goes on, you almost feel certain by saying we're not going to see a drastic downturn in these prices. But, you know, it has folks always trying to predict what may happen.
Yeah, that's obviously the question that we get every day. You know, what's going to happen to prices? And, you know, we rely on our own forecasts of where yields are going to be, which we don't think are going to be terrible, by the way, but we don't think they're going to be much above trend either. We are going to have some areas, and some farmers are going to have excellent crops this year, by the way, and we're going to have some farmers that are going to struggle a little bit more because of the variability that we've had this year in rainfall. And that's actually similar to a year ago. There were areas that did very well last year, areas that definitely didn't do as well, and we're seeing that again. So we're going to, you know, we're going to forecast that yield is probably being at or slightly below where the USDA is at today. And, you know, we're actually rather bullish from the standpoint that we think that there's going to be good demand going forward. We think that the Ukraine situation, for example, is tightening up the world balance sheets and is going to provide for a lot of export potential out of the U.S. for this next year. The poorer crop in South America in soybeans is going to allow for a strong soybean program this year. We think that the Chinese have some significant needs and they're not going to be able to abandon the United States as a market, even though they may be a little bit upset, you know, with the visit to Taiwan from Speaker Pelosi, for example. So, you know, we think that
the balance sheets are such that, you know, we're likely going to be lower than here going into harvest. Traditionally, we tend to fall during that time period when grain is most plentiful. But once we know what the size of the crop really is and we have a good sense of where demand is and where margins sit for the usage of our grain, then we can, you know, we think that we might be able to rebound. And, you know, a big thing that we're watching right now are those margins. Okay, so, you know, price of hogs out into next summer, the price of cattle out into next summer. You know, both of those markets suggest some opportunity and some profitability in livestock production. Poultry is the same way. We look at ethanol, and, you know, ethanol margins are not huge, but they have been decent. And, of course, expensive gasoline has allowed for ethanol production to remain pretty good, despite the fact that the input, the corn, is also pretty expensive. And then we look at soybeans and the domestic demand for soybeans and soybean crush because of the increased amount of renewable diesel that's ongoing and continuing to grow. You know, that market is just growing dramatically quickly. And crush margins in the soybean processing arena are exceptionally strong. So, you know, if anybody touching a bushel of soybeans or a bushel of corn is going to be able to make money doing so, we don't see the price of these grains getting dramatically cheaper, say the areas that we were trading between 2014 and 2019, because there's just an awful lot of margin and there's an awful lot of demand with some reductions in supply in some parts of the world.
Kent Beadle joining us with CHS. And finally, Kent, we go into some of these geopolitical topics that you discussed. It's almost like the new weather almost, because when something happens, obviously it's a world market, but a lot of folks sometimes maybe can't wrap their head around what goes on across the world is going to have an effect on what they do.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the most recent issue with the visit of Speaker Pelosi, you know, it's important the Chinese have expressed their displeasure. It's possible this week that there may have been a couple of cargoes of soybeans that ultimately traded out of Brazil instead of trading out of the U.S. A couple of cargoes is not particularly big deal in the scheme of things, and if they sold those cargoes here on the front end, we might get some additional business on the back end. So we'll just have to see how that plays out. You know, but the issues in the Ukraine, now that's a huge deal for our world trade flows. Ukraine has, you know, in the past been able to export somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 million tons of grain. Just 2 years ago, they exported 30 million tons of corn. On the 21 or the 22-23 balance sheet, the USDA has them exporting 10 million tons of corn, with production at probably 60% of normal. So they were a significant supplier of corn to the Chinese. They were also a significant supplier of corn into Europe. They may still be able to satisfy some of the European business via rail through Poland, but the idea that we're going to have significant shipping traffic out of these ports is something that we're at the moment taking issue with. I'm not saying that it can't happen. I'm suggesting that there are huge risks for the shippers, huge risk for the crews. Insurers are going to make grain coming out of those ports fairly expensive because of the cost of the insurance and the reliability to the world end user, you know, can't be real strong. So you're dealing with this need to deal with famine and such in Africa, and of course that's the UN's mandate, and that's why the UN is pushing for these shipping lanes to open up. And, you know, clearly that's something that would be good for those parts of the world. I just think that it's going to be difficult to get that executed. And meanwhile, if we can't execute it out of Ukraine, we're going to have to execute some of that business out of somewhere else if we can, and that's going to keep grain prices somewhat elevated while that's going on.
Kent, finally, if farmers want to maybe learn more and stay educated on markets and additional information, what kind of resources can CHS offer?
Well, we have a comprehensive program called Agsurian Risk Consulting, where we come out to the farm, go over balance sheets, income statements, and help you set up a plan to achieve a gross dollar per acre to provide a return on your assets and equities. That's our comprehensive program. You know, we certainly offer brokerage services for those self-directed producers who want to do their own hedging. When we have growers with accounts with us, we'll certainly take the time to discuss markets and help them with some of that decision making.
Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for this Saturday morning at FarmFest. Kent Beadle, we appreciate your time, your insight, and educating us on what's going on in the world of markets. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Joe, for having me on.
For Chasm Radio, I am Farm Director Joe Gill at FarmFest near Redwood Falls.